talk. I'm sanctified. I'm sanctified. You might be Baptist, Church of God in Christ, but it really doesn't matter. You gotta live right. You gotta talk right. I'm sanctified. I'm sanctified. Anybody here sanctified? Anybody been washed in the blood or the crucified one? I'm so glad I'm sanctified.
How could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots, they run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see. You were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all my roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah.
Morning. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Good morning. That's much better, much better. We want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. We want to thank each of you for coming and being with us, for being able to come. The Lord's gave us a beautiful day. Brother Terry, anytime I wake up and see the dawning of another day, it's a good day. Amen. Then I get up and there's even more sunshine outside. It makes it even better. So we thank God. Amen. Oh, yeah. Bless their hearts. That's good sound right there in church, folks. That's a great sound in church. We thank God for that. Thank God for that. Amen. But this morning, we're going to continue on building hedges in our lives. We're going to talk about building hedges in our finances this morning, as we've done for the last, this will be the third week. This is something the Lord put on my heart, Brother Ray. A little while back, about building hedges and kind of four topics that he gave me, Matt, was your marriage, your mind, your finances, and your family. And I think each one of us can absolutely say that we would like to have hedges built around those four things in our lives. And so finances is one that we can't ignore, Brother Joe, because how many of you know that we all live in a society today where one job's connected to the other, connected to the other, connected to the other. And as we know in the coal industry, and things of that nature, there's decisions that are made in boardrooms, far off places, that affect workers that are in the southern coalfields of West Virginia. But that God is able to build a hedge about your finances, about your jobs, and all those things. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about the importance of building a hedge. And so we're going to get into that this morning. I know in church, a lot of times, nobody likes to talk about finances. Okay? And nobody wants to talk about this topic. But can I tell you something right now? It's biblical. So we're going to talk this morning about biblical things. And, you know, I was telling Sister Lisa as I came in this morning that I've got a lot of scripture here to kind of touch on, Brother Joe, because that's the point I want. If anything else when we leave today, Brother Terry, is this is biblical. This is 100% biblical. Here's what the Bible says here, and then here's this, and then here's this, and here's this. So we're going to do our best to lay this out about hedges and things of that nature. But I'm going to ask you if you can stand to your feet right now. And we're not going to take prayer requests this morning for in lieu of time. I know we got a state overseer coming this morning. They're going to be preaching for us, Lord willing. We're going to have a dinner afterwards. So I'm looking forward to that. Anytime I get a good belly full, Brother Joe, I enjoy that. So that's a good thing. But anybody got a request, whether it be a spoken or unspoken request, you can raise your hand right now. God knows every need, every situation, sickness or whatever you got going on in your family. God knows the need. So I'm going to ask Brother Pat Browning to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Boy, we're filling up good, 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 good. Praise be to God. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're going to talk today about building hedges again. Today is the third week. Next week, Lord willing, will be the end of it. But today we're talking about building hedges around your finances. And we've talked a lot about hedges here the last several weeks and examples of hedges and what they're for and how to maintain them and the importance of pruning them and all those things. But I want to start out this morning with some scripture, okay? It might have been what I should have started out this scripture in week one, but I wasn't led that way, kind of led now, to talk about hedges. Where is that in scripture? What is the point of reference for a hedge? And in Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, it says this, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Then Satan answered and the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." So in other words, how many people here love to read about Job? Raise your hands. Nobody? Okay, that's good. You guys don't like Job. We're fine with that too. If you don't like Job, then you talk at the... When you get to heaven, you tell Job why you don't like him. Okay? Let's do that again. Who likes to read about Job a little bit? There we go. Okay, the reason I said that, it's specifically, I hear a lot of people talk about a lot of times, I love to read the book of Job. So that being said, I sort of felt you guys weren't paying attention, so that's the reason I wanted to hit on that again. But Job, when we read about the book of Job, a lot of times, Brother Terry, we think about what he went through. Okay, we look at it in a way that he lost everything he had, but in the end, God restored it, Brother Joe. And those are good points and everything like that, but oftentimes we miss the first part of why he was so blessed. Because he had a hedge around him. He had a hedge built around him by God Almighty. And it was no accident why he had the hedge built around him. Okay? He didn't have the hedge built around him just because Job might have been a handsome fella. Just like Brother Pat, who's kind of a handsome dude. Just because Pat just does his head. Angie, am I telling the truth? Absolutely. His wife's going to agree with that. Absolutely. But just because Job might have been handsome, that wasn't the reason he had the hedge. Just because Job might have had a little bit of money in his bank account, Matt, and maybe he was a Rockefeller of his day, that wasn't the reason he had a hedge built around his home and his finances and his children and all those things. So why did he have a hedge built around him? Because he done the will of God. And he put God first in his life in everything he done. That is why he had a hedge built around him. So in other words, as we talk about this morning, what I want you to really grab a hold of is when we've talked about all these hedges and things about our marriage and about our minds, about our finances today and about our family next week, Lord willing, is this. You can have no hedge built around anything that's outside of God's word. Let me say that again. Outside of God's word, you can't have a hedge built around anything. If you do not have a biblical marriage in a way that a wife's doing what she's supposed to do and a husband's doing what she's supposed to do and God's the first, you're not going to have a hedge around it. It's just not going to be there. As far as your mind, if you don't go do by what Scripture says, you're not going to have a hedge about it. Are you ready for this? Your finances. If we don't do what the Bible says to do, we can't have a hedge around our finances, Vicki. It's impossible. So in other words, what we're going to talk about today is how do we have that hedge built around our finances? Now, I got to be honest with you, folks. Listen, you're coming from somebody, the guy that's up here talking this morning, wasn't really taught about this topic, Teresa, in church. Nobody likes to talk about money when it comes to church for some reason. And guess what? I don't know anybody in here that don't have to have it every day. Do they let you pad as good looking as you are? When you go get gas for your truck, do they just look at you and just say, man, good looking. Go on, you don't have to worry about it. Have they ever done that in any way, shape, or form? They require money, right? Thank you very much. So he's either going to flash a debit card or pull cash out of his wallet or something like that. This is going to be a central theme all day. Because I know it bothers him. I love him to death. Ray's jealous I didn't choose him. Ray, I'll try to work it in there so you don't feel left out. But anyway, so in other words, it doesn't matter who you are, if you need food, groceries. I don't know about you guys, but every time you open your power bill when you go to the post office and you open your power bill, does your knees buckle a little bit? Yeah, okay. Because you know you got to come up with the money, Tammy, to pay that. So it don't matter who we are. None of us is immune from having to operate in this world system, and we got to have money to pay our bills and things of that nature. So that being said, Brother Terry, I believe it's important that we put God first and let God build a hedge around our finances. So why ignore money? Because guess what? Money, biblically, can be holy, or the giving of it. The love of money is the root of all evil, but when we do with our finances the way God intends it to be, God blesses it and it becomes holy. See, that's good right there. So that being said, everybody thinks about money, and I'll be honest with you, TV, and when I say this, please, I'm not putting down nobody. I know there's some good men and women of God out there that have television ministries. Not all of them's bad seed, okay? I'm not saying that. But because of that thing and so into this ministry and this and other, they have taken that thing of finances and money and kind of made it a dirty topic in the church. Okay? This ministry right here that you're part of, that you're coming to church at right here, guess what? This ministry, as well as any ministry in the world, as well as your home, as well as your power bill, has to have money to operate. How many people want to see more outreach programs come out of this church? Right? Well, guess what it takes? people and money. It just does. Like I said, as good looking as Pat is, as good looking as Ray is, they will not get by on their looks alone. Ray says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That chiseled physique. But anyway, so let's talk about it in an open way today. Not in a, oh, I can't believe we're talking about this way. Oh man, I hate this topic way. Because guess what? Every time you give to the Lord, God's going to bless you for it. You understand that? So that's what we're here to talk about. We're wanting a hedge built around our finances. Then let's discover what the Bible says about that, okay? If you have your Bibles in the book of Proverbs 3, 9, and verse 10, I'm going to go there first because, like I said, we're going to be a little bit full on Scripture today because I don't want you to take my opinion on this, okay? We're talking about a topic that is not to be avoided. And like I said, today, let's just be honest, today, it's not like it was as far as, you had your own garden, if you will. And don't get me wrong, I know that was a hard life. I'm not trying to make light of that. But, you know, there has been times throughout the country's history that an individual was more dependent on himself, upon God, upon rain, upon to get by. Now, we ain't like that no more. We have jobs. There's very few people that can say they're self-dependent financially, amen? Because you have a job, you got to go to work and provide for your family and stuff of that nature. So that being said, it's important that we have God on our side when it comes to this topic. So in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. So in other words, how many people know who Solomon is? Raise your hand. Anybody know Solomon? Okay. Solomon was one of the wealthiest men who ever lived. Okay. As far as he may have been the wealthiest man who ever lives, I do not know. Okay. But he's right up there. Okay. Bill Gates didn't have a thing on Solomon. Warren Buffett didn't hold a light to Solomon, okay? These people had immense amounts of wealth, okay? And on top of that, Solomon also, other than Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, is the wisest man who ever lived on this planet, okay? So we've got somebody that's got money, wealth, fame, power, authority, he's a king, all those things, but he also has wisdom, fear of the Lord, things of that nature. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has Solomon pen this scripture to us that honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So in other words, what Solomon is saying through the Bible here today in the book of Proverbs, Solomon wrote Proverbs, by the way, what he's telling us is for us to walk God, honor God. How? With our first fruits. How many people here know what first fruits are? Okay. Nobody? Okay. Pat, as good looking as you are, you know what first fruits are? Okay, Pat knows. It's because he's so good looking. But anyway. Pat says paybacks are bad, he said. If Pat knows he'll be preaching sooner or later, he's gonna get me back. But anyway. First fruits. How many people remember the story of Joshua getting ready to come into the promised land? Remember that? Remember about him crossing the Jordan River? Remember that story? Remember how the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as the priest touched it, immediately the river stopped? It's amazing, too, that the water backed all the way up to the city of Adam, by the way. God rolled the reproach all the way back to the city of Adam. Okay, so in other words, they were kicked out of the promised land. Adam was made to leave the promised land. When Joshua comes back to reclaim the promised land, God lets the water roll all the way back to the city of Adam. That's a teaching for another day. But Joshua and the children of Israel go in, and the first city that they run into, how many people remember, is Jericho. Now listen, we as Pentecostals, we love to talk about Jericho. We love talking about marching around the walls of Jericho. We love talking about the Lord bringing the walls of Jericho down. And we love to also talk about, you know what, they didn't have to lift a finger. Their praise blowed the walls down. Okay? So we all, and guess what? There's a lot to that, Teresa, and I praise God for it. I love when somebody preaches on it too. But can I tell you something very important about Jericho that's never brought up? It is a first fruit city. What's that mean, brother? God told them specifically, when you go in, I deliver Jericho to you, you're going to win this battle. You don't get to keep nothing. It goes to the temple of God. It is the first fruits. So here's what happens is God said, you give me the first fruits, and ready for this? After the first fruits, you get everything else. So in other words, the first city that they were going to conquer was the city of Jericho. God was saying, don't you dare touch anything that goes to the house of the Lord. It's the first fruit city. So here's what happened. You know the story? Oh, Achan. One man. Achan. Can I tell you something right now? One man with a die vision, a vision for himself, can harm a lot of people. Achan, in his greed and his whatever you want to call it, decides, you know what, a little bit ain't going to hurt nobody, and he takes it. That was the first fruits. He was told not to take it. Everybody, Joshua made sure everybody knew about that, okay? And so here's what happened. Jericho was a mighty city. People in the area didn't think there was no way in the world that Jericho could fall. But God brought it down. Well, then the next little city that they were going to go against was Ai. And guess what? This is going to be an easy victory. Matter of fact, Joshua just sends out a few people. You guys go ahead and take that city right there, and we'll move on to the next. And they lost. God's people lost. And Joshua was at a, what happened? I don't understand this. Lord, and can I tell you something like this? As a Christian, have you ever had a situation where something didn't go your way and you thought it would, and all of a sudden you go, Lord, I don't understand this. That's where he is right now. So he goes back to inquire of the Lord, what happened? And God tells him what happened. And what did he do? The Bible says they go and they find it. He had hidden it. He'd hidden it. He'd buried it. And he'd hidden it. Okay? So that he could have it. But he disobeyed God by taking the first fruits. And the end result was what? He lost his life. That and his whole family were punished for that one man's sin. And once it was restored and made right, they go on and they continue to win and they make the victories and they conquer the promised land, just like God said they would. But Jericho was a first fruit city. So the Bible says if we're going to honor God, to honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, he says, then your barns will be full. So in other words, I'm supposed to give God my best, the first, not the leftovers. If I invited you guys to Thanksgiving dinner, and Tara put a big, nice Thanksgiving dinner down, because she's the one's going to do all the cooking, you don't want me doing that. You got turkey and dressing, Bubby. Big old ham, tavern ham. Ooh. That's where you'll find me at. Mashed potatoes and green beans and corn, sweet potato casserole. Ooh. You got all that put there before you. And I've invited you as my guest to join us for Thanksgiving dinner. And we all get ready and go, and I say the prayer over the dinner, and God blesses the dinner, Vicky, and then all of a sudden I hand you a plate full of last night's taco salad, leftovers. Earl, you go ahead and eat this right here. We're going to enjoy this Thanksgiving dinner. You think that would make you feel very honored? Or would you feel a bit awkward? Would you feel a bit insufficient? Would you feel slighted or neglected? Sure you would. But now, what would you do if, after I said the prayer, I said this, Lisa, honey, you sit down right here. You sit down right here in this chair. I'm going to make your plate first. You're a valuable guest in my home. You sit right here. And I'm going to get you a plate and I'm going to set it right here for you to eat because you're a valuable guest in my home. Would that not make you feel better? That might make you feel better? That might make you feel welcome? Guess what? I honored her by putting her first. If I gave her the leftovers, that wasn't honoring her. I put her first. And so what the Bible is telling us plainly is, if we'll give God our first, Brother Joe, then, T-H-E-N, our barns will be full. So in other words, it don't come the other way, Vicky. It meant something to Lisa because I let her go first. I put her first. I made a decision to say, you know what, this is the right thing to do. And by doing so, I honored her. I didn't put her at the tail of the line. I didn't serve her taco salad from last night with old packets of Taco Bell sauce that we're all just ripping apart and squeezing it on there. It meant something because I honored her. Can I tell you something? God is no different. God is not only telling us, unctioning us, he's telling us, honor me with your first fruits. Just like the nation of Israel was to do with Jericho. The next scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 14, verses 12, you don't have to go there if you don't want. It says this, talking about Abraham. See, what has happened is, how many people remember old Lot? Remember Lot? Abraham and Lot comes this situation where they can't coexist, Vicky. Abraham says, brings him to a kind of an overlook, if you will, Matt, and he says, you look out and you pick whatever you want, and Abraham will take the rest. And Lot, looking out, he saw the green lushness of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, I'll take that. You go. Abraham took the rest. Well, what happened is there was sort of a little scuffle that took place once they separated, and a little battle, if you will, and where Lot was at, as well as the other places, they not only was pillaged, they were taken kidnapped. They were hostage. They were taken by other kings in battle, and they were part of the spoils of war. And when word gets back to Abraham, as Abraham being a godly man, but a godly man who wasn't going to sit back and let wrong prevail, he gets a bunch of people and they go after him. So in other words, Abraham goes after him, and ready for this? Because God being who God is, and Abraham following God and honoring God and putting God first, God brought a great victory, Vicky. And Abraham gains every single thing back, including Lot and his family, who were basically going to be slaves for the rest of his life. But here's what happened is Abraham comes back, and in verse 20 there in the book of Genesis, it says this, as Abraham meets Melchizedek. Melchizedek, by the way, in the scripture, is a high priest. He's a priest of the Most High God, the king of Salem, or the priest of Salem, or Salam. Guess what? That's modern-day Jerusalem. Abram goes back. Abraham comes from winning this great victory, and he meets the priest of Jerusalem. It was just Salem at the time, before the founding of the city. And the Bible says Abraham does something unique here, okay? The book of Hebrews speaks later on about how Abraham does this as well. And it says that Abraham, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So in other words, what happened is Abraham goes after and retrieves what was stolen, including his own family members, Lot and his family. And when he comes back, instead of keeping it, what's he do? He honors God and he gives a tenth to Melchizedek, a tenth for the temple of God. So in other words, what's Abraham doing? He's putting a precedent and he's honoring God. He's realizing right real quick, look, Abraham didn't win this on his own. God brought this victory. I'm going to put God first. You know why Job was so blessed? Because he put God first. You know why he had the hedge built around him, Jeremiah? Because he put God first. Plain and simple. He didn't serve him leftover taco salad when he showed up at the house. He gave him the place of honor, Ray, and he put him first. What the book of Proverbs is telling us to do, what Abraham is giving us the example to do, is to give God our first fruits, give him a tithe. Now, I understand some people don't know what a tithe is. I wasn't raised in the area that this was talked much about. Right? A tenth. That's exactly what a tithe means. It means a tenth. In Leviticus 27:30, it says this, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is holy. It is holy to the Lord. A tenth is holy to the Lord. So in other words, If we want a hedge around our finances, we must be in alignment with God's word. You'll never have a hedge around anything outside of the boundaries of God's word as a Christian. It's impossible. If we're not walking like we're supposed to walk, we can't proclaim the promises of God. I know there's people that will use this scripture all the time. Everything works to the good of those that love the Lord. Yeah, it does. If you stepped outside of your marriage and had an adulterous affair and got some woman pregnant, she's still going to have that kid. You and your wife may have made it right. God may restore that marriage, Vicky. There's still a child that's going to be born. Well, everything good, that's just the way it is. We have to live with our decisions and our choices in this life. Everything does work to the good for those that love the Lord, as long as we're in alignment with the Bible. There's no stepping outside of that and getting a hedge of protection. Whether it's our marriage, whether it's our mind, we're renewed by the transforming of our mind. That's what we talked about last week. So if we want a hedge of protection to be about our finances, then Brother Joe, what do we have to do? A tithe, a tenth, is holy unto the Lord. So ready for this? If you guys knew, and it ain't, but if for some reason the Ark of the Covenant was up here in front of this building, first of all, we wouldn't be sitting, we'd be on our faces. But if it was up here, would you come up and touch it? Why? Because it's holy. It's holy. You're going to die. And so in other words, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed with early exit. But you ain't going to be blessed in the way that you want to be blessed, right? So in other words, Matt, we're not going to touch that because it's holy. Well, what we just read in Leviticus says a tithe is holy unto the Lord. So when somebody gives a tithe, a tenth of their income, it is holy to God. In other words, it don't belong to you to begin with. That's just the truth. That's just the scripture. So in other words, God has given you 100%. God has given you everything. How many people here thank God for making a way for you this morning? When you got up, you got out of a warm bed. You put on clothes. Listen, there's been times before, I tell you what, I was praying before. And thanking God, and just one of those moments, Terry, where you're just in His presence and just thanking Him. There's that old song that I sing all the time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me and shoes on my feet. All those things, I sing that song often because it reminds me so much, Jeremiah, of the blessings that God gave me, the things that we can take for granted if we ain't careful. And I found myself one time praying, Pearl, for the shoestrings in my shoes. You know why? Because it'd be awful hard to walk without them. It'd be hard to take off running, Ray, in a pair of tennis shoes that didn't have no shoestrings in it. It'd be hard to work in a pair of work boots that didn't have them, that was supposed to have them. So in other words, a lot of times we take for granted simple things if we ain't careful, okay? Well, guess what? God gave me everything that you see in front of you today. My clothes, my shoes. We're going to eat here a little bit. Matter of fact, yesterday me and Tara eat. Day before that, I got to eat. Day before that, I got to eat. Day before that, I got to eat. You see, I ate a lot. Good job. Good job. Yeah, I love it. I love it. See, I like that stuff. But in other words, God gave me every single thing. He didn't bless me like Pat and give me that good-looking mug. But He gives us everything that we have. And you know what? If I'm going to honor Him and I want that hedge protection, I've got to give Him that which is holy, which is the first tenth of everything that I have. That's what the Bible's saying. If you want to hedge around your finances, like Abraham, you're going to give God the first. You're going to give God the first fruits, as the book of Proverbs says. Leviticus even calls it holy, Terry. And we go on, and it says this, because there is a warning and a commandment and a promise tied to this. A warning, a commandment, and a promise tied to this. Now, that being said, I know there's going to be people that say this right here. Because I've said it before. Brother, you just don't understand. I can't afford it. I'm barely getting by now. And can I tell you something right now? To that I'll say, everybody that's ever started paying tithes have said that same thing before. I promise. Me and Tara said the same thing. Vicky, we was barely making it. Just surviving, raising kids, making a menu. Right? We didn't go to the grocery store and just buy a bunch of stuff and throw in a grocery cart buggy like it was nothing. Monday we're having this, Tuesday we're having this, Wednesday we're having this, Thursday we're having this, and you went and bought the ingredients for the meal. That's all we had at the time, right, Tara? Say amen, Tara. Thank you. I want them to hear. So in other words, we know where you're at. I know where you're at. Brother, you don't understand my situation. To that, I'll also say this. I do understand. I've been where you are. But the series is called Building a Hedge Around Your Finances. And I never had a hedge around my finances because I never was taught, Brother Joe. I never had the opportunity to be taught on what we're talking about today. Terry, I was in the situation I was in because I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't have no alternative route. I didn't understand the biblical principles of this and how it works. So in other words, I was oblivious. I didn't know nothing. I couldn't have a hedge. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about the principle. So guess what? I know where you're at. I promise you this. God knows where you're at. He's not mad at you. Understand that. He's not mad at you. He's not rebuking you. I'm not rebuking you this morning. But if all of us want to hedge around our marriages as well as our minds, as well as our finances, as well as our family, we've got to be in alignment with God's Word. This is the topic that very few people like to approach or teach on or preach on. But can I tell you something right now? It's just as valuable as the old rugged cross. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. Why? Because it's both in the Bible. Anything that's in the Bible is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Amen? But also tied to this is a warning, a commandment, and a promise. In the book of Malachi, boy, and I hear some of you Church of God people, you thought, oh, here he goes. I know he's getting here. Malachi 3 says this, verses 8 through 12. There's a warning, a commandment, and a promise tied to that hedge around our finances and the holiness of it and the first fruits of it. And it says this, that the prophet of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit is confronting Israel for this failure. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have I robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing, until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So in other words, there is a specific warning. You have robbed me, says the Lord. How did you rob me? With your tithes and offering, because you wasn't giving them. I love everybody here. I have no ill will toward none of you. And I'll do anything in the world I can do to help you. Come with me, talk to me, come to my home, I'll serve you a meal. I love you. I want you to know that. I love you with everything in me. I love this church with everything in me. But if we're not doing what the Bible says, we are robbing God. That's the scripture. I'll stand before God one day when I do stand before him and give account for what I teach and preach on. I'm going to be held to a very important standard. More of a standard than if I wasn't a teacher or preacher. The Bible makes that plain in the book of James. Baby, I'm going to give the whole scripture. God is not condemning you here this morning. He's telling you what the scripture says. He loves you. He wants to put a hedge around your finances. He wants for us to be certain in these uncertain times is what I'm trying to say to you. Okay, and the only way we can do that is to be in alignment with God's word. And will man rob God? How am I robbing you? With your tithes and offerings. And then God says this, you're cursed with a curse. oh my gosh, I don't want God to curse me. I know none of you want God to curse you. But that's exactly what the Lord told the prophet to tell the nation of Israel, because they were in disobedience. They wasn't in alignment with the scripture. They were taught. They were taught better, and they wasn't doing it. If you were taught better and not doing it, then you're more accountable. Amen, Pearl? If you don't know, if a baby don't know that it's wrong to steal, it's not that baby's fault, it's that mommy and daddy's fault that didn't teach that baby. I told Tara this morning, I told Tara this morning, I read something this morning, I told her, and I'm going to tell you guys right now what I said. They some grown-ups me took out back and whooped with a belt. Did I not tell you that? Thank you. There's some grown-ups me took out. We weren't talking about tithing, by the way. But we were talking about other things, that it's a parent's responsibility to, with children, and things you need to do and not do, and parents need to have boundaries and all those. That's what we was talking about. So in other words, if that child is a thief at four, they could be a grown-up. I mean, if you taught them right from wrong, they're still that way. God knows that. But if they're 4 years old and they're stealing stuff and you're not disciplining them and telling them it's wrong and why, it's the parents' responsibility. Amen? God wants you to know this. He loves you. These teachings and these sermons that these preachers come in and preach is to help us, to correct us so that God can bless us. And it says that they're cursed with a curse. Why? Because they were robbing God. And it goes on and says, this is what I love. That's the warning. The commandment is this: bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So in other words, the warning was, you're robbing God. You're cursed with a curse. Why? Because you're not giving your tithes and offering. Okay? What's the commandment? Bring it to me, that there'll be plenty of stuff, plenty of provision in my house. That's the commandment. Okay, Lord, you've warned me. What do you want me to do? Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And then here comes the promise, Cheryl. If you'll do those things, here's what God says. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing till there is no need for more. In other words, if you'll do these things, I'll bless you. I'll bless you to where you're going to even have room for the blessing. That's what God says right there, plain and simple. So in other words, there's a warning, there's a commandment, and there's a promise. Amen. That's the scripture right there. Okay, for sake of time, I'm going to move on just a little bit, although I could dwell here. He goes on and says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Can I tell you something? What that means is, I'll bless you. I'll bless that because you're giving your first fruits, and I'll rebuke Satan from off your finances. That's what he's saying. I'll take the rebuke over Satan over the curse over me any day of the week. Amen? That's what it's saying, plain and simple. So he's going to rebuke the devourer off my land. So he's going to build a hedge, Terry. That sounds like a hedge, Vicky. He's got a hedge built around me because I'm in obedience to him and his word and the Holy Bible. Okay, preacher, we're about to run out of time and I'm getting uncomfortable. Did Jesus ever talk about tithing? Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Could you imagine Jesus calling you a hypocrite? Whoo! Could you imagine the stinging rebuke that would have been in that? Oh my gosh. Whoo! But he's talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking to you today. He's talking to the Pharisees and all their ways that they was. They were outwardly beautiful white-walled sepulchers, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. That's what he called them later on. But anyway, and if you couldn't handle tough preaching, you probably wouldn't have liked that. You were full of dead men's bones, is what Jesus told them. But those were the type of people that was hurting people with religion, okay? They wasn't loving on people that God wanted them to be. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and deal in cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Well, how in the world has that got to do with tithing? Well, let's read what he just said. He's rebuking them, not for the tithing. You tithe the spices. You tithe whatever you have. You're doing that. You're in alignment. That's good, okay? But what are you not doing? You're neglecting the other, the weightier matters, which is justice and mercy and love. He never was rebuking them for anything other than that. He wasn't telling them not to tithe. Matter of fact, he was saying, you're tithing and that's good, but you need to also love people, extend mercy and justice. That's what he's saying. So is tithing in there? Absolutely. Jesus actually commended the Pharisees who he called hypocrites. Think about that. What he thought of them, he was actually saying, you know what, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. But you ain't loving on people. You ain't showing mercy. You ain't showing justice. This is good. What you're doing here is good. Okay? But you're not loving people. You're not showing them God in all these things. That's what he's talking about. And he goes on in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, because of the sake of time, which had about 10 more minutes, 15. Well, brother, I give at the offering, and I help other people when I can. I praise God for that. That's good. That's an alms. That's an alms. There's a difference in a tithe and an alms. A tithe is a tenth of your first fruits. You give that to God. And if whatever you put in the offer plate, a tithe, or if somebody comes to you and they need help with their prayer bill and you give them $100 because they're short, that's an alms. That's an alms. That's good. That's praise God. You do it out of the abundance of your heart. There's a difference right there. Okay? And the Pharisees even got that wrong, Terry. They was doing their alms and announcing it to everybody. In other words, well, boys, old Ray was a little bit short on his power bill this month. I helped him out, though. I stepped in. Good to know he'll stay warm this winter. That's what they was doing. And Jesus rebuked him for that. Okay? That ain't what you do. Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You don't sound a trumpet and tell everybody you helped somebody. Who are you? Matter of fact, you ought to be took out and whooped with a belt. You grown-ups, if you're doing stuff like that. But God wants us to have the promise. God wants us to have the hedge built around us. Alms and offerings are important. People have needs. Out of the abundance of your heart, you gave to them. Praise God for that. But if we want to have a hedge built around our finances, we've got to be in alignment with God's word. I know this is a weighty matter this morning. I told Tara, I said, this might be the least attended one of the whole thing. But it's important. It's holy. It's holy. Giving to God is holy. Even the offering, if you give $5 in the offering this morning, God honors that, Pearl. He blesses that. He honors that because you're giving it out of the abundance of your heart. If you're giving it begrudgingly, keep it. Just keep it. Ain't no need in doing that. Just keep it, okay? Not being mean, just keep it. If you're doing it begrudgingly, I have to do it. That ain't what God loves, a cheerful giver. Amen. If you got, if the Lord puts you in a position to be able to help somebody, help them. Because I promise you this. You may be blessed right now, but you may be in need tomorrow. You understand that? That's the way life is. It can turn on a dime. Amen. It has nothing to do with responsibility. Sometimes, it rains on the just as well as the unjust, folks. There's people that are good people, and then a big something happens, and it's hard to handle. But God will honor those and bless those that put him first. If we want a hedge around our marriage, we are in alignment with God's word when it comes to marriage. We want a hedge around our minds, and that's important. Then we've got to be following the word of God, the Bible. And if we want a hedge around our finances, then guess what? We've got to come in alignment. Come in alignment with that. And that is what the Bible says. We are to give God our first fruits. We are to obtain the promise. We have the hedge just like Job. Why was Satan so frustrated? Because you put a hedge around him. I can't do nothing to him. Have you considered my servant Job? So in other words, what the devil was doing when he showed up there that day was this. Lord's asking him, where you been? Going to and fro. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? In other words, you ain't knocked nobody off. Job's still standing pretty strong. I can imagine Pat, handsome Pat. I can imagine the devil. Because you built a hedge around him. Take the hedge down and let me have at him and see if he don't curse you to your face. That's what the devil's saying to God. That's what he is, okay? And what did the Bible say God done? He's, okay, I'll lower it down. Why? Because he knew Job would do it. He lowered it down. You can't take his life. Can I tell you something right now? God is able to put a hedge around you in all forms of your life. If any scripture ever tells you that he can or can't do it, that right there tells you Satan's asking for permission, because God has the authority. If we want it over our minds, over our marriages, over our families, and over our finances too, then we got to be in alignment with God's word. When we come into alignment with God's word, listen, folks, God will build that hedge around it. And it don't matter. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You understand, what God blesses, Satan can't curse. Amen? You remember the prophet? Remember the old prophet? They tried to pay him. You curse the nation of Israel. I can't do that, because God's already blessed them. It don't matter what you say. If God's done blessed them, the blessing's there. And can I tell you right now, if we'll honor God and his word in all facets of our lives, including our finances, we'll receive the blessing and don't have to worry about the curse. Amen? God bless y'all.